Whoa, that the smooth fade in. Hey, it is 4:03, and you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284 AL Haleiwa. I'm going to be a little rusty today because it's been almost a year since I've been on sabbatical, but luckily we got back up with Scotty and Eric Cannon. And I want to make sure I got all the mics right. Is everybody wants to do a little sound check?
I think, am I here? Can you hear me?
You're there.
Testing,
Scotty,
one, two.
We are putting the band back together.
All right,
testing, one, two. Anything?
All right. So, first of all, I do want to say thank you so much to Felicia for this last year. I had done the show for a little over 15 years, and I've been looking for a long time to find someone to kind of pass it on to. And Eric came in as mentor, kind of. Felicia, co-pilot, apprentice, and they did a great job, and I was able to step down. It is community radio, so hopefully we get as many voices as we can from the community. And I think it was time to go local. So, Felicia, if you are out there somewhere flying on a plane, I think, to see your son, I just want to say thanks. You've done a great job. So topics are open today. I posted a whole bunch of stuff on Facebook's Kauai Soapbox page. It's just Kauai Soapbox on Facebook, and I've got links accompanying everything we're going to talk about. But as always, as we always used to love to do, and I know Felicia does too, content and the guests are king and queen. So if you need to change the topic, the phone number is 826-7774. I have been working all day today, so I'm out of the loop on the final outcome down at the county council today, and I know you guys are akamai out there. We've got the 2 a.m. crew that got out there early at 2 a.m. literally. Wow. To get in there and bless them. And you know what? Even the blue shirts, the more people involved in this process, the more community evolved across the board, the better it is. And so I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on what happened today. I'd also like to talk about media bias and where we're getting our media information, left, right, conservative, Republican, atheist, religious, whatever. I'd like to talk about the government shutdown, Obamacare, just everything. It's wide open today. It's been a great year for local topics, and it's opened up to worldwide and beyond if we have any ETs out there. 826-7771. Scott, aloha.
Hey, aloha.
Aloha. Yeah, and Eric, aloha too.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah. And Scott, you have a guest from out of town visiting?
Yeah, Frank here from Southern California visiting. Came to get some surf. He got some small surf, but not what we expected for this time of year.
I had some beautiful surf. It was fantastic. I just want to put a shout-out to Joanne, who was keeping me safe at Middles when we were all alone out there. And beautiful surf. Fantastic.
Boy, at this time in history, you can still catch a solo wave and a solo moment sometimes on a beautiful island. Anyway, so well, let's jump in. Once again, I want to make sure the phones are working, and I did not have them turned on, so there we go. And if it's a little bouncy or rusty, please forgive me. I literally have been out of the studio for 8 or 9 months, maybe more. So, Scotty, what's on your topic? Eric, what's on yours? Let's just jump right in.
Oh man, you know, we got on a national level, we have, you know, turmoil in Congress, and it's quite a thing to watch. And, of course, Obamacare, we keep getting more and more news about how awful Obamacare is. And I hope, you know, people are paying attention as far as how it's really affecting the people in here in Hawaii, because we did have a pretty good system here with Quest, and now it's changing. So not exactly sure what the extent of the changes are, but it is changing. I know personally our health care costs and insurance costs have gone up, and I'm not sure about our coverage if it's changed, but I know the costs have gone up.
Yeah, you're right. Hawaii with its Quest, and I can't remember what was before that. Before that was like Aloha Care or something like that, but Hawaii's had some of the best health care in the nation. I am not down on Obamacare because of Obama, and I'm not down on Obamacare because I'm against universal health care, single payer, or affordable health care. I'm down on it because of the way it was pushed through and the fact that it doesn't work. And I'm really interested in hearing from those who believe it does work. And I understand for some people it really will. Parents who would like to keep their child on their plan up until the age of 26, contrasted to parents who might have a criminal under their wings and trying to get rid of them, they will be still responsible till up to 26, I believe.
Well, you know, that all sounds good, though, Carlos. But what about the people who are losing their coverage through their employer because their employer has to bear the cost of that additional insured person? They're saying, well, you know what? Maybe we don't need you working for us so bad anymore.
On the Kauai Soapbox Facebook page, I put a whole bunch of articles today, and the first one for me is the most fascinating, is the media bias. And when you really start checking into who owns what, your mind is blown. GE owns an amazing, well, they sold to Comcast, but up until last year, you know, 100 stations, Time Warner, they all have interconnectivity to pharmaceuticals, big oil, industrial, defense, etc. Say you love John Stewart, you might not know his brother is a principal in the New York Stock Exchange. So as liberal and socially conscious as he might be, you have to wonder. Morning Joe with Mika Zbigniew is Zbigniew Zabrinsky's daughter on Morning Joe. So she's pushing the conservative line too. And let me see. Andrea Mitchell is the wife of former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan. And I can't remember what major news media she was with, ABC, NBC, or CBS, one of the biggies. But you have to know. And right now, I'm kind of fascinated with how we're all dealing with this Obamacare from outside the system. And you have the more liberal-minded, social-minded, and some people might say consciously-minded, wanting this affordable health care, but not understanding the nuts and bolts. So a lot of the memes you get or thought processes on social media or even the news is the evil Republicans. And I think that does a real disservice to people to not understand that the congressional shutdown and the shutdown of our government is something that's happened 17 or 18 times in the last couple of decades. It's been just about evenly split between Republicans and Democrats shutting down the government, and there's a lot of history on the Quay soapbox behind that too. So knowing the media bias, if you're watching MSNBC or Fox, of course, those are two obvious polar extremes, but even NPR will toe the federal line and have to meet certain guidelines and fit into certain areas. Well, and
NPR is federally funded, yeah. So if they piss them off.
Yeah. There. So anyway, we're looking for calls right now because ultimately you guys are the most interesting. But on the Kauai Soapbox page, if you want, there is a ton of information today. I hate that hyperbole. There's lots of articles, probably 5 feet of articles, thoughts, and then accompanying links. So we got a phone call, Eric?
They just wanted to call and welcome you back on the air. They missed you.
Man. I got to say, I miss it. I deeply miss it. I left because I just felt it was time to kind of step aside. But I love it. I'll be here for subs. But it is Felicia's show now, along with Eric as co-host. And so I'm not trying to fill her shoes. It's just for a day. Anyway, so Eric, as a younger person, how are you feeling about Obamacare?
Let's see. I got a letter in the mail recently. Pretty much a long letter just explaining what this new Obamacare is going to be doing for me. And from what I've seen from it and everyone complaining about it, it's not a great thing for me. And
By way of constriction or government intervention into your life, bank account details, such like that, or cost of your insurance going up?
Yeah, that, but I'm also irritated in what I can actually get out of my insurance. Like, it sounds great. I'm covered by medical insurance, but then when I really need it, it gets down to can only get the cheapest of services. I don't have many options. Okay. And then when I talk to other doctors, they tell me that the reason why they don't take Obamacare is because they have to get in debates on the prices of something. Say you come in for an $80 checkup, and they can mark it down to some point, but then when they're trying to get their money, they'll say, oh, we'll pay you $12 instead of $80.
So it kind of creates this bartering, negotiating kind of thing.
Exactly.
And I think that was the idea with the exchanges. What's interesting to me, I saw that there was bronze tier, silver tier, gold tier. So we still have this social stratification and financial stratification, and that seems to kind of fly in the face of reason. So, Scott, how about you? Are you guys going to be impacted by Obamacare?
Well, yeah, as I said before, we've already seen coming up to this after the law was passed, we've seen healthcare costs increase quite a bit. And we got letters in the mail saying that, you know, our costs are going to go up even higher. And I've been following, you know, Hawaii Free Press. And they're doing a lot of reporting on what the costs will be because they've actually received the letters coming out through HMSA mm-hmm. and Kaiser saying that healthcare costs are going to go up by about 40%.
Wow.
And that was citing one letter in particular for a married couple, age 40, and the male in the 50s. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for someone like you, Eric, it saddens me because your generation is going to wind up paying for my generation's health care costs. But I'm going to pay for it, too, because there really was nothing in this health care bill that reduced the care, the cost of care.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing also that's starting to come to light as well is that, you know, the feds are selling this as insurance coverage. Well, there's a difference between insurance coverage and health care.
Yes.
And everybody needs to be aware of that. Just because you have insurance, the bronze plan, you're still responsible for the first $6,500.
Yeah.
And in a lot of people's case, that could be 50% of their annual income or 20% of their annual income that they have to put out in addition to their monthly premium, which is about $200.
Yeah, even just because you're covered doesn't mean you're really covered.
Exactly.
For instance, like I've been doing a lot of free diving recently, and I got an earache, an ear infection, whatever you want to call it. I call up my primary care provider, and they say they'll call me back. And it's intense pain that gets worse every single day that you don't treat it. So after not getting a call back for a day, I just call one of my other friends who's a doctor and get the prescription, just go completely out of the insurance, just not connected to my insurance at all. And I have the medicine that day, and I paid for it, whatever. And then they called me up today, like, you know, almost 2 days later, be like, oh, so let's get an appointment to see your ear. Like, dude, I've already taken care of that. Like, I would be in intense pain if I waited around for my insurance to take care of me.
Well, it was funny. Last week, I ended up having some bizarre little medical glitch myself, and it was, I think it was October 1st. It was October 1st. So on September 30th, I started having some weird chest pain, slurring of words, numbness of left arm, left leg, and headache, shortness of breath. And, you know, my basic idea with medicine is it's there when you need it, but try not to need it ever. And then, you know, when you do, hey. But so I stay away as much as I can. And I've got really great 22-year history doctors here. Jim Winkler, actually, at Hallelujah Clinic, has been our family doctor since before my kids.
That's great.
But by the next day I woke up, it was so numb, it was like my arm was in a sling. So I had been writing a ton of in blogs and forums about Obamacare, and I got to spend a good part of the first day of Obamacare actually in the hospital. And so it was very interesting. And, it made me think a lot. And one of the things I realized is over my time on the air, I really tried to be fair, broad-minded and everything. But I realized with this Obamacare thing, just because I've dug into the nuts and bolts so much, and I really honestly believe I've done research and I just know a lot about it. I was fighting it, though, from the wrong perspective. And people would go, you racist, or you Republican elitist, or, you capitalist. And some of those things, sure, they can be bad, but there's nothing wrong with being a capitalist either, or even a Republican. I know great Republicans, as many as great Democrats. But it's weird how polarized we become. But what I did realize is that maybe this Obamacare, which I honestly, to the bottom of my heart, believe it's going to go down in flames, it's going to self-destruct. I don't even think it has to be fought, because it just doesn't work. It's 10,000 pages. Almost no congressman or woman read it, and it's a nightmare. But anyway, I did get to sit in the hospital for about 7 hours, and I realized, well, maybe from the ashes, true single payer or universal health care will arise. It's interesting, contrasted yesterday to Switzerland just announcing they're trying to push through a law in parliament to allow every citizen a guaranteed $2,800 income, whether they work or not. They just get it.
Where's
just
this?
Switzerland. Yeah, it might be Sweden. It's one of the big two S countries.
I thought Switzerland has been doing it for a while.
No, right? this is a brand new big thing. They dumped an entire dump truck of gold coins out in the center of this town plaza, and they're pushing it through. So that, you know, that brings us to the question of, you know, at what point, if the government's paying for everything, are you a ward of the state? Is the government your parent? Is it a nanny state? I don't know. I worry about that, but at the same time, you know, heck, maybe it'll open up artistic freedom and, you know, the ability for people to really pursue what they love. We did have a caller call up and didn't want to go on the air, but they said, are we going to talk about local issues? My question is, are you, caller, going to talk about local issues? We're going to be in here talking, but we would love to hear what's on your mind. We'd also love to hear what happened at the county council today. I just have been off, so I haven't been able to find out exactly what happened. I did hear kind of something that possibly Mayor Carvalho asked for a two-month extension, but I don't know. Was there a final vote? Did it get what happened? 826-7771. If you could let us know in here, that'd be great, because I wasn't able to.
I was at the Coconut Festival all weekend, and that was pretty awesome. You know, happens every year, but I don't know. That's a local issue. It was another good coconut festival. But, yeah, as Carlos said, if there's anything, big topics you guys want to bring up on the local scale, call in. You know, it's a soapbox show. It's here for you. But
yeah, well...
There's a couple of things that maybe, you know, prompt people to call. There is a rumor that KUC wants to start forcing its customers that have decided to opt out of the smart meter program. They are talking about perhaps getting adding a monthly charge, service charge, if you don't have a smart meter. So there's a little bit of controversy there. Of course, we got the GMO thing, which is a really big battle. And those are two really hot topics right now that I'm sure the listeners...
What I heard was it was going to be somewhere around $80 or $81 to opt out or have your smart meter that had already been placed on your residential unit taken off, and somewhere between $10 and $11 a month penalty or cost to not have that smart meter.
Now, did they give an explanation for why it was that expensive, $10?
I don't know.
Is that a number they just pulled out?
That's a number they pulled out. Eric, do we have a phone call?
We do.
All right. Go ahead, caller. What's on your mind?
Well, I lived here a long, long time. First got here in 72. Been a full-time resident for 20 years. And public restrooms throughout the island. First of all, they're horrible and dirty for the most part. I know the guys try and do a good job, and I know a lot of people abuse them. But with a tourist island that produces this much income from tourism, it seems pretty ridiculous that tourists can't find a restroom for 20 miles in between one place and another. And Kilauea is one point example. Kowloon, where they shut down their public restroom because it was costing them a fortune to maintain. The bistro there wants to charge tourists $8 to use their restroom because they can't afford to support all the tourism that comes through there and what it costs them for their restroom.
Can I jump in? Is that like an exaggerated thing, or like if you need to
no, that's
number
not
one
exactly.
Number two, it's $8.
No, there's a sign on the door. Sign on the door. Says you want to use the restrooms, $8 for tourists. It's $10 if you're a bakery customer, because the bakery brings a lot of people in. They have no restroom. But there was a public restroom there for a long, long time until about 6 months ago. And I heard that the owner of that shopping center spent up to $60,000 one month, and on average between $10,000 and $20,000 maintaining that one public restroom. I know the public restrooms all over the island, and the shape that they're in, the fact that they can't keep them painted up and looking good with toilet paper in them, the toilet seats clean, or at least not screwed up. You know, I mean, hey, somebody messes up and makes a mess, they can't expect somebody in there every hour. Yeah. But, and the public maintenance people, they do the best job they can, but they pass through those restrooms once a day. And if you try to go to a public restroom at any county public park, it's not usually very fun. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I just got back from a little time in Canada, a couple weeks over in Canada, and I didn't see one dirty restroom anywhere. We were out to the extreme boonies and, in the big cities. The other part of that responsibility is, who are these people that can't get their aim right? I just don't understand that. But yeah,
the 1%.
That's the 1%.
And that's why so many of our constitutional rights and so many problems, because we have to protect against the 1% that takes advantage and screws up. And you hear about people being arrested 14, 16, 20 times before they're ever put in jail, really, for more than a day or a month. But you hear about other people that go to jail for months for something stupid.
Well, that sounds like a platform for the next election here in Kauai, clean restrooms. I've got a couple other callers, but I'm with you on that. Why can't we take care of our restrooms? If we can't deal with our own, come on.
Well, especially with the amount of dollars that come in from tourism.
Yeah. Thank you very much, caller.
My pleasure.
All right. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Fantastic. What's on your mind?
Well, I want to talk a little about, we have a agency in Hawaii with 200 officers, who can arrest you, stun you, draw a gun on you, throw you in jail, harass you, that has no oversight, and that's DLNR. They have no internal affairs. And basically, on this island, we have a rogue agency because the people above them are a shifting bunch of bureaucrats that come in out with, like Mr. Isla, who's presently in charge, who comes and goes with the tide, who's basically a political appointee. And but, so they leave the guys over, you know, on the islands in charge to just do whatever they want to do without oversight, and there's no internal affairs. So whenever you get harassed or threatened by a DLNR officer...
That's a... Are you still there? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, we've lost frequency for just a second. Well, that's I just wrote that down on my list of things I definitely want to follow up, because how could you not have an IA department or any oversight?
Not.
So and how do you know that?
Not
that I'm challenging you, but I'm more curious, how do you know that to be a fact?
Well, because I got threatened by a DLNR officer, and I tried to report it.
Okay.
And basically, I was trying to find out why they let all these giant trucks run all over the beach, because I knew it was against the law. I found out from upper levels that it wasn't illegal to drive on the beach. So when I first inquired, the reaction I got was, you cannot keep us from driving on the beach. It is our culture. Where are you? Me and my friends want to come and set you straight. And it went on from there about not being a squeaky wheel and such.
Well, I got that down on my list. I'm going to follow that up. And I just think for any department not to have oversight or checks and balances, it's nuts. So thank you very much for bringing that up.
After
yeah.
that, I then called the Attorney General's office and spoke with a special agent there and made a report. Of course, then they come back and said, well, that threat wasn't specific enough to go out and arrest him for threatening you. He didn't say, for instance, he was going to kill you or beat you up. And the fact that he wants to set you straight with him and his buddies was not a big enough threat for them to prosecute these people. So they said it's an internal matter. So then I go back internal, and I speak to the boss of the local officer, who was actually the person I got the threat from, was actually a chief of enforcement for the island of Kauai. So then I went to his boss. His boss then said, my boys are doing a fine job, and I don't care if you're doing this and this and this, that's fine, and you're harassing me, so don't call me anymore.
Well, I don't know if we could do much more about that on the phone, but it's definitely something I'd be curious about, because I just think checks and balance and oversight's fantastic.
Well, there's no oversight. Why do you think all these trucks
well,
are
let's,
on the beach?
Well, let's get some.
Well,
I like
that's
it.
That's not going to happen, because here's when you call Mr. Isla, which I've spoken to him. Here's what he says. I have no money. Tell your senators and congressmen to send me money. I don't know if I'm going to pay my people. I have no money. I never spend any time on Kauai. I don't know what they're doing there.
Well, I'm going to follow that up. I think it's a great topic, and I really appreciate it. I got a bunch more phone lights going off, so that made the list. That's my first one on the list today, so thank you.
Yeah, it's very dangerous.
Hey,
yeah.
Thank you for
thanks,
calling.
Caller.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We appreciate your input.
Aloha.
All right, 826-7771. It's wide open. Anything you want to talk about from right here on Little Old Kauai to
Miley Cyrus?
To Miley Cyrus. Okay. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to comment about the smart meter situation and the fees.
Do you have a comment, or do you have some actual information for us about specifics? Either one's great.
I have some actual information. So
Intel.
KIUC had put out that on October 1st they were going to start charging the $81 fee, but they had never gotten approval from the PUC, the Public Utilities Commission.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a special meeting on October 1st to change the fees around to a $50 fee and a $10 fee for this or that. And they still don't have PUC approval. So right now, they can't charge anything for for changing out your meter.
So do it fast. Now, I think that where the buck stops on the PUC is with Mina Morita, our former representative on Kauai, one of them. She's the head of the PUC. So A lot of listeners have relationships, either friendly or political, you know, connections with, you know, great part of the community. So that sounds like an interesting person to maybe get on and comment about that. I'll talk to Felicia about seeing if she can actually follow that up with Mina on the air.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if you go to planetoasis.org, they will have much more information. They are following the smart meter issue. We've got a group of us now who's spearheading some different things around the smart meters, and that's a place to go to find out more. There's a great movie out called Take Back Your Power that's being shown around the island. I think I'm going to show it this Sunday at the Kilauea Neighborhood Center. So just go to planetoasis.org, and they'll have more information.
That is fantastic. And while I've got you on, I recently purchased a radio frequency analyzer called an HF35C. That's, you know, it's industrial grade. It's not a junky thing. I'm looking for someone that can help me really learn how to use it. It's outside of my normal skill set, but it's very high end. I went through and did a survey on my house, and this is not one of those $100 or $200 ones. This has a giant antenna and audio, and you could hone in from cell phone to tiny Bluetooth. I found that I was literally frying myself sitting 5 feet from a wireless unit I didn't have, and all over my house. So, I mean, smart meters are definitely a problem and a concern, but there's all sorts of EF and EMF and RF pollution, and it's really time to understand what that's doing to us. So anyone out there that might be able to teach me how to use that, and I'd love to share it with the community, too.
Yeah, some of those smart meters can run up to 125 miles, and what they're putting out is just incredible. I'd like to see, Carlos, what your test results came back with.
Yeah.
But 900 megahertz of vibration going into the home is pretty significant. You know, 1.8 billion times per second. That's going in. It's going to have an effect on plants, animals, your children, everything. So you got to be careful.
Yeah. What were you going to say, caller?
Well, I had a the people that are running the Planet Oasis, they have measuring devices as well.
Oh, and, maybe they could teach me.
They can. And they came to my house, and my house was off the rock, you know, off the record. I mean, so I wired my whole house. I have no wireless in my house except for my cell phone. And it made a big difference in my health, and I didn't even know I had symptoms. But when I got that all tested, and I was so much better.
Yeah,
so
we didn't realize the things you don't think about, like Apple TV, the little Apple AirPort extenders, wireless routers. I had some weird thing that's coming from a neighbor, and I can't find it, but it was in our back bedroom where there's no Wi-Fi, no smart meters, nothing around anywhere, and I was getting a pulse about every 15 minutes for about 5 to 10 seconds, maxing off the scale. It topped out the whole scale, and it was coming in right where our headboard of our bed was. So it's going to be interesting. A lot to learn for all of us in this new world. I've got a bunch more phone calls, but I want to say again, planetoasis.org for smart meter information, and I'm really excited. Thank you, caller.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
All right. I think we've got another call, Eric. Hey, caller, you might have a radio or cell phone on that we're getting feedback from.
Is it better now?
It's better now.
I'm calling in with an update from the county council hearing today.
Can I do one thing first that'll cost you 11 seconds of your life?
Absolutely.
All right, I just want to play this, and I want to make sure I've got my sound.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, volunteers, board, or underwriters.
That was all. Thank you so much. I forgot to do that because we do not speak for KKCR. We let the community speak. And anyway, go ahead. Thank you, caller. What's the update on the county council situation?
Well, the meeting was recessed, which means that it was truncated. It ran out of time because it was set for a set time limit. And so it ran out of time, and it will pick up on Tuesday, a week from today, on October the 15th at 9 a.m. And that meeting, at the moment, Jay has not set a time limit. And so we're hoping that they can actually sit down and work through a few more of the clarifications on the buffer zone.
Mm-hmm.
And
actually get to work and pass the bill.
What kind of turnout was there today, both outside and in the chambers?
Well, there was 43 of us who spent the night there.
Are you part of the 2 a.m. crew?
I got there at 10 a.m. last night.
Oh, my gosh. So you guys got there very late at night or very early in the morning. And how about outside? Hello? I think we lost our feed or connection with you.
I didn't do anything, I promise.
Are you there?
Okay,
she might be on a cell phone. I did hear her on a cell phone. Well, while we're waiting for her to dial back, and I hope she does, it was very interesting. The week or two before, when was the last? I was out there, and you know, I got to go take part of that, and it was I was so happy to be there. But it was very interesting. At one point, there was a lot of. It's so funny to talk about it like this, but there was a lot of the red shirts that were filling the majority inside. Outside, there was probably 200 of the blue shirts. Of course, the blue shirts are conceivably pro-GMO. And, you know, it just had this feeling like a football game. And the blue shirts obviously were being paid by the different seed companies. It was during work hours, so I figured it was probably about $20,000 to $30,000 to pay for that staff if you figured on an average of about $15 an hour. And of course, the citizens of Kauai that are just working jobs, they didn't have the money to subsidize missing work, so it was a little lopsided out there. But it's just very interesting, and maybe we'll get more into that. But the caller hopefully is called back, and let's see if we can get him back on the air. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, sorry, I don't know if you're on a cell or we just lost the feed from our antenna or what, but go ahead.
I was driving.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. So, yes, we got there. The first of us arrived at 10 o'clock last night, and by 1 a.m. there was 43 of us. And the first biotech employees arrived around 1:30, and there was a couple of them. And then by 4 a.m.,
You're fading out here a little bit. It might be your cell phone. We might have to take your call a little bit later because you're cutting in and out, and we're on live
radio.
Can you
hear me now?
I can, but if we have any more difficulties, we might have to curtail this call.
Yeah, I'm going to stop right here so that I have signal.
Okay.
Okay, so if you have any other questions, the mayor showed up, and he asked for at least a 60-day deferral, and he did a PowerPoint list presentation that was filled with a bunch of reasons that they believed that, you know, the bill would cost money and it would be this and it would be that. And it sounded a lot like he had basically only talked to the state and the biotech companies and nobody else in the community. And after a lot of questioning, he admitted that he hadn't even read the bill until just.
Did he actually admit that specifically?
He did.
Wow.
He has read it now, but he just recently read it. And he never read any of the reports from any of the doctors. He never read Hector Valenzuela's reports about Hawaii and what's happening here, or any of the reports about the effects of the GMO industry on the areas that they're in. And He actually left in kind of a huff and puff.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit bad for him. I think that he made a little bit of a mistake. He's running for re-election, and he showed up at the council hearing at the very last second to try and delay or defer the bill when he was at the very first public hearing months ago and had a he had time to research and do his homework, and he didn't. Instead, he passed it off to some staff, and then I noticed when he was out of the room, the only people that, you know, he was really hanging out with was the seat. So it was a little.
You know, you on one hand, you don't have to, you can't have too much sympathy for a politician because they choose it. They find their constituents, they get funded, and they get in there. Conceivably, they do have an obligation to represent not just their constituents, their lobbyists and funding people, but their entire constituent group, which it would be the whole island here. And this is something you need to be really prepared for. When the rest of the world in the industrialized nation seems to be moving away from GMO or at least very strict labeling. I spent a few hours today going over what's happening in Europe, and Russia is very much moving in that direction. The same with the smart meters. It's so interesting that here in Kauai we're kind of moving in the opposite direction, and there is a lot of science. I noticed last week there was an article came out, I think it was Hawaii Free Press, and it basically was saying something like, do hippies cause cancer on Kauai? And it was a bit tongue-in-cheek, but basically it was talking about cancer clusters. And it kind of inspired me to do a whole bunch of posts on the Kauai Soapbox websites, because anybody that knows statistics know you can game statistics. And, you know, you start with a cancer cluster or a health impact cluster, and you go, oh, no, I'm a chemical company or this or that. And I'm not saying that's what happened here. But then what you can do is game the system and expand your parameters until you finally absorb the statistical cancer anomalies by getting such a large population group that you can hide them. And I'm just wondering how people are buying this. There's so much information on the adverse health effects of this. And I have to say, I've known Joanne Yukimura for 20 years, had her on the show 20 or 30 times probably, or 10 or 15. And I just felt like it felt like she was trying to find consensus in the middle in an area that there just isn't, that you don't always find consensus when it comes to health or safety. You don't have to make everyone happy. You have to do the right thing. So,
and I just have to tell you that I think part of it is that if they actually paid attention to people like Dr. Huber and Don Strait and Stephanie Senoff, it's a little too scary for them. They actually would have to do something big.
Right. Cognitive dissonance. It just is so uncomfortable that it causes them to question everything, and then people just shut down.
Right. So, and Joanne did, you know, I think that she did a wonderful job with the disclosures and the disclosure part of the bill. The buffer zones are not enough. And I've been working with the West Side for a long time now, and they keep looking at it like, what is 500 feet going to do for us?
It's amazing. Well, I love Joanne. I respect what she's done in the past. She has a great activist past behind her. And I respect her enough to honestly say, wow, I wish you'd go for a little bit more. I've got a bunch more phone calls, so I want to say thanks for the report.
Okay, well, the last thing I would like to say is that we just want to pass the bill. And if we can pass a bill that includes buffers and disclosures, it's a great, great start.
It's a great start. And the world's watching this one.
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much,
aloha.
Caller.
Aloha.
Thank you, caller. Mahalo.
Go ahead. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Does this have to be only about GMO and all?
Anything that is on your mind, it's your show. What's on your mind?
Well, we up in the homesteads are very upset, people that live up there. In fact, that's where I am right now, and we've been sitting down talking about it. We did not know about the county council meetings to put a dog park in a county park, which is, there's a big sign that says no animals allowed in county parks, and there's an ordinance against that.
Can I just for clarification, are you pro dogs in that park or against it? I kind of was unclear.
Oh, I'm against it. They're taking up so much of the park, and this is where the kids go for their field trips, and the buses park exactly where they would put the parking for the dog park.
Is this the big soccer area up there?
Excuse me?
Is it the big soccer area up in the homesteads?
Correct.
Okay.
And then to the right of the bathrooms is that beautiful hill. And, you know, I walk in that park all the time. And there's so many people that use that park, including a lot of our kapuna. In the morning, they go out there and they walk up and down that hill. And when they saw all these posts going up, they didn't understand what was happening.
They weren't involved in the process, it sounds like.
Well, they don't buy, none of them probably buy the newspaper. I didn't know what was going on. There's one gentleman that I've been speaking with, and I would like to know what other people, I mean, the people that live right on the rim of where this is going to be are upset. There's no water irrigation. The Jungle Gym Park for our children is totally broken up, has very sharp edges,
The bathrooms are disgusting, and there's only one toilet for the women, one toilet for men. And, you know, this is where people go to have their, you know, family birthday parties, and they generally will put like a, a lot of them will put like a slide down that hill, and they're taking up acres of property.
Would you be open to a mixed usage based on different hours of the day, or do you feel like the defecation and urination of the dogs there would create a health hazard, or are you concerned about a safety hazard?
It's going to be a safety hazard. Okay. I was bit by a pit bull last summer.
Okay.
And, you know, how about a nice fenced-in area for our children to play, and how about fixing the playground for those children? It is terrible. There is some really major problems. Two children that I've seen have gotten cut by the sharp edges of the plastic that's all broken.
Oh, boy.
And they have big holes in the area that the kids crawl around on. And it's about, what, 12 feet wide, but we're going to give acres of land to the animals.
All right,
well, the Humane Society people said, well, the animals need somewhere to interact. Well, our children need somewhere to interact.
So you're,
and it would have been nice if they would have put, like, a nice, you know, VitaCourse. I don't know if you know what
right,
that is.
Right, I do, yeah.
They have,
so you're thinking there, like, there's better use for that space, or at least you should
absolutely
have been, you should have been involved in the process, and
right,
so that would be
they're
interesting.
They're planning on putting picnic tables and trees in this park.
Cole, let me ask you, do you own a dog?
My dog passed away.
Okay. Yeah, because
and
you know,
I would not bring my dog to a dog park anyway.
Right. Some people don't really have a choice on where they can bring their dog. If
it,
they
it
live
is
in
getting
park
much more restrictive, and dog owners do pay taxes, but the one thing is there should always be adequate public input. So
yeah.
I'm going to put this on my list, too, and check it out. I'm completely out of the loop on that one, but thank you for bringing
yeah,
it
Carlos,
to our attention.
That was great. You know, we
hey, breaking news, Carlos.
Feedback.
How about like fixing the fence of the park itself?
Yeah.
That is very dangerous.
Start with the basics and go from there. Well, thank you so much, caller.
Yes, and I'd like to know if anyone else is listening, what their thoughts are. I know the Humane Society, or, you know, if we're going to worry about our dogs interacting, well, then put them on a leash and go on the dog path, on the exercise path, because we gave that up to let the dogs be on the bike path.
Right.
You know?
Well, let's see what the other callers have to say. It's
all
a great topic.
Hey, I got breaking news, Carlos.
Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, I'm just looking here, and I thought I heard this on the news. The Big Island passed through committee 6-2 to ban GMOs on the Big Island.
Yeah, I've been following that up. They out-Kauai'd Kauai.
I know. Yeah, I wonder if they're getting that kind of resistance. You know, if they're organized on the opposite side. And you know, one thing, as far as the GMO thing is concerned, I'm just wondering, from a political standpoint, I kind of understand where our, you know, council is coming from. There's somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 jobs at risk.
Yeah.
And
I have one more thing to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're actually moving on to the next caller, but you can call back if you like.
The jobs are a big deal. People could lose their homes, they could lose their cars, and that's a pretty big impact. And I'm sure that there probably are people out there that had blue shirts on that think, you know what, this isn't the right thing for the next seven generations to be putting this stuff down. But we need to take care of what we need to take care of in this at this time.
Yeah, we didn't do so well in California. We were unable to do that.
Yeah, but the point is that from a political standpoint, I wish that our political leaders, rather than tabling these things and seeing who can convince them, the real dilemma and the real challenge is, how do we replace those 500 jobs?
Yeah, if you don't talk about the jobs, it's a non-starter.
Exactly.
Even
we wouldn't have public support.
Ultimately, you've got to protect the land and the farmland because you're dead. But people are mostly short-sighted. Most people in a day-to-day survival sense.
And I wonder how many people that actually had jobs say, listen, if we could get you another job that paid the same and it wasn't spraying these crops down, you know, will you take it? And then how that might change the dynamic of the debate.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're trying to switch in, and we lost that call, so please call back.
You want me to take over?
No, we got it. Go ahead. You're on the air. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, why not give those 500 people jobs weed-eating instead of spraying Roundup?
Yeah, well, there's plenty of jobs out there, and if you see California is just moving to actually legalize industrial hemp, there are so many opportunities in Hawaii and on the island of Kauai that could fulfill those jobs with, gosh, I mean, it would be a no-brainer. So, but we do have to, as Scott said, include the entire community in this conversation, and there's a lot of issues, and a lot of people are coming from different perspectives, and I think if we're going to be trying to go against something or ban it or restrict it, we need to be coming in with solutions too.
Right, solutions.
Yeah. Anything else, caller? Nope.
No, I think that's the same one.
Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Nope, she left.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, that Obamacare is pretty tough. Are we going to go back and revisit that topic, Carlos?
Oh, I'm sure it'll be coming up.
Have you guys seen anything with that? People that are online and they're accessing the website, they're having issues with when they try to stop the process. They're having issues where they get a response.
They're like under 5% success rate.
Driver's license is going to be suspended. Some tax lien on their business.
Okay, what happens is the first year, if you don't pay your fine, your first year, your driver's license is suspended. So you, but if you pay your fine, you're okay. But at the end of the application process, there's a thing where you actually are offered the opportunity and almost strong-armed into giving your bank information.
Wow, you're
kidding.
And
just today it's in the news that they will not share that banking and personal financial information with anyone except for certain law enforcement or audit situations. That's in the actual website. And that's if you're one of the less than 5% that make it all the way through to the end.
Those AR-15s to the tax guys, right? Well, the IRS, those guys are going to be... when I was driving an ambulance back in the day and I was going to go to medical school and get a background in biochem and physics, you know, we saw the cost of healthcare just being absolutely enormous. You come into the trauma center, you get start with a $10,000 bill, and it just goes up from there and escalates.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a lot of friends who are physicians, and they're starting to leave the profession because it's so tough.
Well, yeah, and you have the government telling the doctors how to practice medicine. So
the guys that were making $400 are going to be making $200 are going to be making $100.
It's never the doctors, though, the nurses. They spend 10, 15, sometimes 20 years to get their education. We've got a bunch more callers, 826-7771. Let's talk about insurance reform if we really want to change the health care. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. I hope.
Hello?
Hey, there you are. Okay, we're having a little phone stuff, and I'll probably have to take responsibility because I've been out of the studio for 8 months. I apologize. Go ahead.
I'm here. I called earlier in the show about DLNR, and I just wanted to tell you another thing. I did talk to Senator Gabbard, Mike Gabbard, Tulsi Gabbard's father, is in charge of the committee that oversees DLNR. He's a senator, state senator, and they do have a body that overlooks DLNR, and I did talk to his office, and they told me, and they sent me an email saying they were in talks with William Isla about closing access to all the beaches on Kauai.
Well, we'll have to check that out.
Yeah. But what I wanted to say about getting an internal affairs, if anybody's interested and wants something to happen like that, or they should call Senator Gabbard's office or email Senator Gabbard, Mike Gabbard, because he's in charge of the committee that oversees DLNR, and he can actually question Mr. Isla on what he's doing over there.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like you need to start a petition and maybe get it around and get a couple thousand.
No, that's not going to happen here because, you know, there's too many people who have a thug mentality. When you speak out about the subject, they take it personally and they want to threaten you. So,
all right, well, thank you for your call.
Yeah, thank you, caller.
Yeah, that's tough. 826- I don't think the beaches are closed yet. I was out surfing in Kauai yesterday, so Middles was breaking beautifully.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
You know, I wasn't shocked when the woman mentioned the mayor hadn't even read the bill. You know, he's like a poster child for a mayor that you don't want to have. You know? But anyways... You know, I lived in Kauai in 1979 when that couple, that nice couple, that man and woman, got murdered. And they just found her body, you know, they just announced that they'd found her body last week in the newspaper. And let me tell you, for all the people that lived back then, I'm sure a lot of people were totally shocked, because that's probably one of the most horrible crimes that ever happened in Hanalei, except for maybe the early missionaries, you know? And right after the murder happened, you know, everybody basically came to the conclusion through, like, you know, because Hanalei and the North Shore was such a, it was like the Wild West.
Well, before you proceed, I hope you're not going to go naming names or anything, because this isn't 60 Minutes.
I'm not.
I mean, I want to hear your concerns, but not specific names, because it's an ongoing cold case investigation. Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course. You know,
okay, just, look, I've been out of here for a while, so my spider sense was tingling.
Well, you know, nobody's called in, and nobody's ever, it's almost like people, because it happened so long ago, they just don't want to, they want to bury the past. It's kind of like the reverse when, you know, sacred ancient Hawaiian bones get uncovered, and there's a huge uproar, and I agree with the sentiments of Native Hawaiians that this really upsets and disturbs them when a bulldozer upturns some ancient grave sites, and I see why they get so mad and pissed off, you know. But this is like the reverse, you know. After 34 years, this dead woman's body surfaced and somebody found it, so they reopened the investigation, right? And I hope that there's some people out on the North Shore that know what happened, or that are willing to call the police and tell them everything they know. Because the way the story circulated just a little while after this happened, way back when, was that everybody basically concluded and knew who did it. And it was a group of, you know, five or six local people that lived out there that did the murders. And one of the facts that came out, was that maybe a lot of people don't know, besides just quickly murdering this guy, because he was a two-bit nickel and dime cocaine guy, even though he was a cook. He worked up at Princeville. You know, I saw this couple every day, practically, because I worked up there myself.
So, caller, let me help you and us, because
we can't try this
because
case
I've been hearing a lot on the radio. We can't try the case here, but
no.
Like, if we could just, like, in a minute or two, because I do have other calls. What's your fear or your concern or your anger?
Okay,
really quick.
The concern is the apathy of the general public, not only the Howleys that know the story well, but the local people, because of this group that's committed the crime. A lot of them are dead. Okay, and plus there's a little apathy too, because a lot of local people, I know this is true, and no offense, but they think that because this one guy was a two-bit petty cocaine dealer / cook, you know, that they brought it on themselves, and then just that doesn't float with me, right? And you know, and people, because it is such an old issue. Except that when they found the body, the bones, it made it a today issue.
Right. Yeah, it's one of the oldest cold cases in Kauai.
It was the most horrible thing, like I say, that's happened in
Hawaii. is your message or request to people, hey, don't be apathetic, get in the game, or if you're afraid, don't be, or like...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Don't be afraid, because that was back then, it was a culture of fear. If some certain locals pissed off at you, they could make life so miserable that you'd have to leave Hawaii, you know? Because no offense, because this happens all around the world. A lot of kids grow up learning how to hate, whether it's racism or this or that, right? And so a lot of locals, and this, like I said, it's not Hawaii. I'm not directing this to Hawaiians, you know, but the people, it's just like the South, the blacks and whites in the South. People grow up feeling that they're entitled to to their racist attitudes.
So you just are calling out for people to not be afraid, not be apathetic, and there probably is a way to get that information out. And I totally understand.
Yeah, I'm not the person that they could call the police because people know this story through and through. And I truly believe a few of these murderers are still alive and they should pay for their crime. And people are protecting them because even though, hey, I believe in forgiveness. I believe that these people, God will forgive them and stuff.
Caller, it's just about the top of the hour. So, but I mean, it's I'm not getting you off because it's heavy. I'm getting you off because we're going round and around.
Forgiveness is powerful. Thank you, caller.
It was a powerful event. And to find those bones to reveal themselves.
Well, let me tell you, I've been here 26 years, and it was one of the very first stories I learned 26 years ago. And names were named, and you know, it's not just apathy, it's fear. But thank you so much, caller. And I guess you're just calling out there to say, hey, if you know, it could be you, your family, your loved one, whatever. So, thank you very much, caller. It's almost top of the hour here. 826-7771. Eric, you got something you were about to say?
I don't know. My mic doesn't
Your mic is not wanting to let you on here.
Testing, 1-2. Frank
come
from
over,
Orange
come
County,
over
California.
By my mic, maybe.
Is my mic working?
Hey, while you guys are figuring it out, I just looked. New York Times today has an article, Unease in Hawaii's Cornfields, and it cites the Robinson family and Steve Case, and it mentions Kauai and the Big Island. We're making national news with this effort to try to get GMO off the island.
Now that article did seem to have a little bit of media bias.
It did.
Towards
now the big
toward
the big
towards big big chem and big farm, etc. I did see another article that just came out too, and it was Civil Beat, and I was very impressed. It's on the Kauai website. It just came out. I just found it today. It might be a couple days old, but there's a lot of articles on the Kauai Soapbox Facebook page today. So amazing article in Civil Beat too. I'm all for fair reporting, even if it doesn't empower my side of the narrative. If it's true, scientific, vetted information. Right before the top of the hour, I want to say, for me, it just keeps coming up. There are so many BS sites on the web right now. I almost think it's a concerted effort by the powers that be to create mistrust of alternative media. Senator Feinstein right now is going after the Journalistic Shield Act, trying to get rid of alternative media and the protection of journalists. So our very, very new free access to non-biased, non-corporate media is being challenged with this Media Shield Act that Senator Feinstein from San Francisco is trying to push through with the blessings of our fearless leader. So keep an eye on that. And it is now the top of the hour. So once again, you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. Let me see, K284AL, Haleiwa. And
that's a mouthful.
Cool. That's a mouthful. It's 5 o'clock, and we appreciate it. It's a live call-in show. I'm just sitting in for Felicia with Scott and Eric, and Scott's buddy visiting from out of town, and we're just taking any and all calls on any subject. But real quick, I want to get. I don't think that's a live call right there. Yeah, it is?
It is.
Oh well, let's take the call. I don't want to hear myself talk. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Is that me?
I so apologize. I thought it was an old call from before that had fallen off. Go ahead.
Is that me you're talking about?
It is.
Yay. My name is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hey. And I wanted to just make a comment, like a new concern that's becoming into my radar, which is the deafening sounds, like Kauai is being, the children and the parents unwittingly were becoming deaf because of the extreme volume of music that's being played in bars and concerts.
Did I read a post that I won't name you unless you want to be named, but you were a little bit upset about the second Saturday in Kapaa or first Friday, I can't remember what it is.
Oh, just one of the venues I walked in, an amazingly talented musician, but you know, it was so deafening. I mean, people have no idea.
So you felt assaulted, not honored, and actually maybe your hearing was in jeopardy.
Well, mine wasn't in jeopardy because I had the whole time I had my ears completely covered with my fingers in the ears. But everybody else sitting there will have suffered probably permanent ear damage to some degree.
So, and add that to the kids cranking their iPads and iTunes of any kind into their ears at full volume.
Yeah.
It's an age-old thing, though. They've probably been saying it since Elvis and probably even Lawrence Welk. But, yeah, so your feeling is, are you thinking there should be some type of restriction on decibels?
No, I think it should be education.
Okay.
At least that's a good start. So if people understand what's going on, they'll go, oh, my. Because people have no idea.
I noticed that the Kilauea development that was considering the skate park and the amphitheater, one of the big things was the decibel ratio of the sound for the adjacent community. And it'd be interesting if people walked around with a decibel meter. There's probably a better term for that device.
Sure, I just ordered one.
Oh, okay.
Yes, well, yesterday.
So you're going to have to.
$27.
You're going to have to keep us
Amazon.
Posted. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're really affordable tools.
We actually got in trouble because my exercise routine of my daughters on their trampoline, and they didn't even speak. They silently jumped for half an hour each. The neighbors felt it was too loud, but it wasn't. It was squeaky, but it was not over the Princeville legal limit, so it's been an interesting journey. But we all have to live together, so you're asking for a little more consciousness and education and sound projection from venues.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the prevention of deafness to the community.
I like that. I'd love to hear if you do a random secret agent sting on a first Friday or second Saturday somewhere and tell us what you found.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thanks, caller.
You're welcome.
Right, hey, Carlos, I'm on your soapbox page right now. You have 153 likes, by the way. And I wasn't one of them, so now you have 154. I had no idea.
I really spent some time on that today, and it goes through media bias. It goes through government shutdown. It goes through I really kind of wanted to look at the government shutdown here. Let me see.
Did you see what China was saying about us?
Oh, China's saying if we don't take care of our debt and get this government funded, that they're going to be upset.
They're going to stop selling the Costco. Okay.
So maybe we'd have
they're
to deal with that
national
China,
parks
Chinese
or what?
Merchandise.
Oh, they already own the national parks. That's right.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Oh, hello.
I'm almost on the air. There
hello?
We are. I hear
you. Hey, you're on the air.
Cool. Hey, you know, I feel bad I missed the first hour, but there's something I really wanted to make sure.
We were just stretching and warming up. Go ahead.
Okay, and hopefully maybe no one's already called us in, but this is in regards to the smart meter issue.
Mm-hmm.
How KIUC was saying that, you know, you could get your smart meter changed out and get a non-RF emitting analog meter if you want that on your house by October 1st, and then as of October 1st, it was going to be $81.
We did have an Akamai caller come in, give us a great local website, planetoasis.org, just like it sounds, planetoasis.org,
great.
With a lot of information, and we did cover that. They're looking to gather an $81 one-time fee for having your smart meter already on pulled off, and there's going to be some fee from $10 to $50. They're trying to lobby the PUC for the right to charge us if we choose not to opt into the smart meter program.
So here's the clarification. Is
Thank
one,
you.
They said they already told people, so many people said, oh, it's October 1st, I'm not going to get my meter charged out.
Ah.
But I contacted Jim Kelly of KIUC in an email and said, what's up with this charge? He said, oh, well, we're not charging that now, but not telling the public that that's not in effect, as many people saw in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't see a retraction of it, but what they saw was an article on October 3rd that said, you know, they've been calling it an $81 changeout fee, but in the article it said, we're proposing to the PUC a $50 setup fee and a 50-something setup fee and a 10-something monthly fee. Well, they knew that they hadn't gotten approval from the PUC to even say they're going to charge people $81. So that is infuriating to me. And in my mind, it was totally used as a tactic to keep
people. They intonated that the door was shut, that it was a done deal. And
unless
what you're
going to fork up $81.
You're wanting to tell the people of Kauai, the owners of KIUC, owners.
This, I will not stand for this. I'm switching to the island's other utility company.
Your own photovoltaic.
Oh, wait a second.
Damn.
So, in short, this is what I want to say, is that anybody who's had any doubt about that whole system, and it definitely behooves people looking into it, but we already know that there was a court ruling that said you have the right to privacy and that smart meters have been shown to be a tool for invading privacy. So if that's the only reason, furthermore, a year ago when I talked to KIUC and they said, well, we're not going to be using these smart meters for, you know, charging you more during peak hours, which other companies are talking about. No. Now I see in their, you know, proposal for the year, we're considering, you know, charging more during peak hours. And if you have an analog meter, they don't know what you're using when, because it's a good old-fashioned analog meter. If you've got a smart meter, they can tell that you've come home from work at 4 or 5 o'clock, you're doing your laundry, you're taking showers, and you'll be charged more for that.
And that creates
tiered
a tiered rate and a hierarchy of the people that have more money get to take their hot shower right at prime time, and the people that don't have as much money
you're
might have to get up at 12
you're
at
doing
night.
Their laundry at 12, yeah.
So there are health concerns, there are privacy concerns, social issues.
Privacy, it's a whole
and on a bigger level, many, many counties and districts and communities around the country and in other countries are moving away from smart meters after being challenged.
Banning,
yeah. So once again, Kauai seems to be swimming upstream, and I find that fascinating, and I always wonder, is there another agenda?
Absolutely. And I think, once again, just like it was in the FERC process before, we have an issue of transparency. So when I called to get my meter, I get somebody on the phone who's telling me, who answers KIUC so pleasantly, and then says, well, you know, those analog meters, trying to talk me out of getting it, they're not very reliable. And I said, well, what do you mean they're not reliable? Do you have some documentation on that? We carry on a little conversation. Well, it's not the meters that aren't reliable, it's the readers. What the heck?
So Scott brought up an interesting opinion, too, at this time when our economy is staggering a little bit and we're trying to find jobs. We're actually doing something. We're going to take away jobs from people that need jobs here in Kauai.
Well, and I'm not one to just, like, make work for the sake of making work. But honestly, you're not talking about that many people. When they're talking about 3,000 people now have switched out from that smart meter to
on Kauai?
Yeah, 10%.
That's a very big percent
that
for this small
huge.
Island.
And KIUC put that statement in the paper, and I'm guessing that by now after this phone call and other people, they figure out that they can, you know, switch out their meter still for free, that they're probably going to do it. Also, the likelihood that if they try to charge, there's going to be great upheaval.
Now, I want to jump in really quick because I had an interesting experience where I came home, and a guy was right at my house starting to put the smart meter on. And at first, because I'm not an enlightened being, I was like, hey, what the... Blah, blah, blah. And I was a little tense, and he was a big guy. He was like, ah. And I went, you know what? I'm really sorry. I'm opposed to that. I don't want it. And he goes, well, call. Here's a number. Call right now. So I went in, and they were so nice, and they were like, we're so sorry. You didn't get your paperwork. And I said, well, we send it in. So somehow it got, who knows what happened, but they were nice. We have had KIUC in many, many times over the years. They do work for us. We all forget that. We forget the whole government works for us. They're our employees. We actually are their bosses, all of them, up to wonderful President Barack Obama. So if we can remember to be polite, well-educated, and relentless in our pursuit of whether it's health issues or social issues or just our beliefs. So planetoasis.org, and thank you again for clarifying that, because the door is not shut.
Line up at KIUC. And my suggestion is when you turn in their form, which they want you to use the form off their website, it's a little tricky navigating there. I don't think that's a mistake either. You have to kind of click on Smart Grid, then Smart Reader Deferral. It takes a little, you know, winding into it. But on your piece of paper, all it says is that you're going to defer a smart meter, which means that they'll come out, if they've already put a smart meter on, they'll come out and they're going to put another kind of digital meter on, which still emits RF, not as intensely, but still bad. And it can be used as a bounce signal for the smart meters. So if you really want just a the electricity from your house isn't going to go to pay for your smart meter or any digital meter, just ask for a non-RF emitting analog meter.
Thank you so much. I love those simple, clear things.
And write it on your form specifically, and you'll get it.
All right.
Have a wonderful one on my house.
Thank you so much, caller.
Bye.
Aloha. Short break here. We're going to do a little bit of station business, and we'll be back in, it looks like, 1 minute and 16 seconds. Okay, we're back. And while we were on that break, we were talking about what is going on with social media. It's the Wild West. They are the people as high as Zbigniew Brzezinski, who's been kind of a defense counselor for 6 different presidents, possibly 7, and is kind of one of those dark, dark evil lords. He says the war with Syria, and he said the war with Syria was made difficult because people are so educated about what's happening politically through social media that it makes it difficult for world leaders to do their little machinations of defense spending and war and everything else. So we're making progress. Consequently, people like Senator Dianne Feinstein are trying to get rid of the ability of independent journalists and non-corporate journalists to get the message out. That's the Shield Law. You should look on that. But real quick, and then we'll jump into everything else. there's been so much BS on the internet. If you're on any of the social media sites, Facebook, Google Plus, any like that, there's a lot of great news and articles out there. You're being played too, and I want to remind people, you're not the customer of Facebook. You are the product, and you create by what you like, what you talk about, who you know. You create an algorithm or a metric of measurement that actually classifies you in your defense threat, your economic viability, etc. And that information is sold to private interests, or it's given to the government, sometimes strong-armed. The Edward Snowden incident kind of brought light on that. But you are the product, not the customer. So while you're using this product, you should learn how to be a user. And I did a lot of work on Facebook showing what happens. There's a lot of stories out there lately, like the giant wasps in China.
Yeah.
They get switched around, and that might be true, the one in China, but it switched to Nebraska, and there's giant wasps in Nebraska now killing people.
Yeah, killing
that comes
people.
From, but it's not. It's
not
completely true. It's
right.
nationalreport.org. hard to get to the bottom of that site because it really seemed legitimate, but it's a political site, not unlike The Onion, but The Onion is absurd and humorous. The nationalreport.org is actually uses political irony to make a point. So one of the things on the Facebook site today was kind of going through tools to turn you into a media user rather than a media product. And you need to know, and I don't care if you're left-wing, right-wing, religious, atheist, you need to know who your news sources are owned by, who controls them, where the funding's coming, what the narrative is, because there's always a narrative, always. Somewhere a few years back, the Supreme Court made a decision that news providers were not responsible for honest news anymore. I couldn't find that today because I didn't have time, but it's actually a law. I believe it was Fox News. Now, during a Republican administration, you want to be listening to CNN, MSNBC, etc., because they're going to be shining the light in the dark places. During a Democratic administration, you do, and I hate to say this to you Democrats and liberals, but you do need to be listening to the alternatives, because they're going to be shining the light
they're
in the
looking.
Shadows too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as a responsible citizen, you know, don't get swept along by someone else's narrative. Even if it works for you, imagine that the pendulum's going to switch and the other team, whatever it is going to come into power, and all those laws that were broken and you look the other way because your team was winning and they behooved your team, they're going to be working against you. So please know the source. If you see an internet news story and it seems absurd, like Obama funding a Muslim museum with his own money even though the government was shut down, or kindergartners tasered by two cops in South Dakota, a lot of these police violence stories, they're old stories from 10, 20, 30 years ago. They're brought back in, and I honestly believe they're put out there to see if you go, I'll kill those people, or rip my gun from my hands, or I'm going to blow. They're trying
from
to,
my dead hand. Cold
they're
hands.
Trying to pull you out. So you need to remember on Facebook and all these things. And there's, I mean, we're heading toward 2 billion people on this planet on Facebook. It's the greatest spy tool ever invented.
It really,
it's been
truly
proven
is.
That it works in conjunction with NSA, CIA. That's proven. That's not even a conspiracy theory anymore. But be smart, you know. Be smart and know that everything you like and say and read and post is going into an information algorithm metric, and you're being quantified. So go ahead. Eric's jumping in, one of our younger media savvy dudes.
I was just saying, speaking of The Onion you said earlier, I'm going to post a little Onion video on the Kauai Soapbox talking about CIA and the Facebook, and Facebook's CIA is a government invented program, and it's just a hilarious joke, but how serious it actually is.
Well, in early times, it was the poet bard or the court jester who, through music and entertainment or through irony and plays and humor, they could say things about the court and the king or the queen or the political happenings of that time by way of humor or irony or comedy, and it's still so important. That's one of the reasons why we have the Fair Trade Copyright Act, so you can go in and you can actually criticize politicians or public figures. They're trying to get rid of that, so you're not going to be able. They can say they're bullied or it's a hate crime if you're speaking out against a politician that doesn't represent your ideals. So we've got to be vigilant, and I just time and time again, I want to tell people, like right now, I get a lot of grief by fighting Obamacare, and I do it online. I never thought I'd be a person taking such an unpopular position, especially on a 90% liberal, you know, Democrat, kind of left-leaning island. I love the idea of universal and affordable health care. Obamacare is a nightmare. It's gonna self-destruct, but I realize I don't even have to fight it anymore. But just because I'm against it doesn't mean I'm a Republican or an Tea Partier or an elitist. It's like, come on, you have people next door on both sides. Make sure when you are reading these articles about evil Republicans shutting down the park system, you know that that's actually the Obama administration doing it. It's political theater. He has every right to do it. The Democrats have done it time and again, and the Republicans. It's a tool provided by the Constitution for Congress to keep the president in checks and balances.
I got to stop you there because, no, it never has been done. In all the 17 government shutdowns that you cited earlier in the program, not once has the World War II Veterans Park been shut down.
Other things have been shut down. They pick and choose to apply maximum pain to do that Pavlovian behavior.
The maximum pain started in this administration, and not once has never ever a government employee come in and publicly testified saying my instructions are to cause maximum pain.
You're talking about the National Park Service employee Well, I did read that there's only been one other government shutdown like this, and that in the 17 or 18 that they really were negotiated quickly and it was used as a tool, but this is something different. And
there's
there's
a lot of unique things about this administration, and people are learning slowly but surely. They're learning about this administration and how it's been working and how it's been operating, even how Obamacare was passed, you know, through reconciliation and not acknowledging Scott Brown, who got elected to take Kennedy's spot and so forth. But they're
that
starting
was New Jersey, I think.
That was Massachusetts.
I thought it was New Jersey.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that are being discovered, but the bottom line is that there's a lot of unique things that are happening right now.
Now, I want to say it's not just Obama's administration. It's the time we're in, the understanding of social psychology, media manipulation.
Well, our politicians are playing.
They're making
political calculations based on advanced polling.
Yeah.
Techniques.
Amazing algorithms and metrics.
And so that's what's happening right now.
Eric, do we have a call?
We do.
All right. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey.
We've been waiting for you. Save us.
First of all, Carlos, it's wonderful to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
When I first heard, I'm like,
are you dreaming?
I know that voice. No,
yeah, I think I was getting too big picture and not focusing local enough, and I just love what Felicia's done. But there is a space for the big picture, too. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Just real quick, because I've been in and out of the car, there was another shutdown. I know because it affected now he's my ex-husband, but we went on a trip when we still lived in Santa Cruz to go one Christmas break to go see federal parks. And we didn't know it, but as we left California, we spent the night on the edge of California, and the next morning as we were going into Arizona, we heard on the news that the federal parks were shut down. So that trip, we only got to go to, well, except for the ones that went, like, that have a through fare, because some federal parks, you know, the highway goes through them.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't shut those ones down, but you weren't allowed to, like, get out of your car. But we only got to go to state and county parks that winter. So I know it happened, and I met him in 95.
That was a year of a shutdown,
Okay. Right in that region of 95, 96.
So there's
90, between 93 and 96 somewhere, there was at least a brief shutdown.
Mother Jones just posted an article saying, agreeing with Scott, that but they say it is only the second real shutdown of this magnitude, but, you know, probably the first of this scale.
What magnitude are they talking about? Because only 17% of federal employees are actually being furloughed right now.
But I thought really quick with the caller on the air, we'll go 1976, the president was Ford, the House and Senate.
No,
I was just going to go through them really quick,
okay.
Like the history with you. Jump in. 1976, President Ford, Dem Senate, Dem House. 1977, Carter, Dem Senate, Dem House. 1977 again, October 31st, Carter, Dem Senate, Dem House. 77 again, November 30, Carter, Dem Senate, Dem House.
That was all Democrats.
78, Carter, Dem Senate, Dem House. And 79, Carter, Dem Senate, Dem House. That's a democratically controlled Congress on both sides of the aisle shutting down the president. That's what this is a tool to be used for. Then we jump to the Reagan. It was a split Republican House, Republican Senate, Democratic House. And Reagan goes again in 81, 82, 82, 83, and 84, 84, 86, and 87. And those were all split Republican Senate and Democratic House. 90, G.W. Bush, H.W. Bush, that might be the one you're talking about, or 95, Clinton with a Republican House and Republican-controlled Senate.
Yeah.
It was the Clinton one.
So people are getting so mad about the evil Republicans, but this has happened almost 50-50, not to this extent like Scott brings up. It's a tool, and they're applying the knowledge of social Pavlovian pain response, and right now they seem to have picked the Park Service, and they had a group of elderly people on a bus in the Grand Canyon. They held them for 2.5 hours in the bus. They would not let them stop at any bathrooms along the way, and there were private businesses with private concessions surrounded by public land. They told those landowners, the Park Service employees, they would lose their concession if they allowed the elderly people on the bus, and this is all publicized. I've got the articles, and it's been vetted and verified. They told them they'd lose their concession if they let the old folks do their number one and number two. They couldn't even stop along the way to take a picture because that was called recreating. Juxtapose that with the veterans not being allowed in the Capitol Mall, but we're having an Immigration Act reform given a special clearance today and yesterday by Obama. I don't know, it's in the next couple of days, to have an immigration reform rally in the mall. They're using more people, more Park Service rangers in some of these parks
for enforcement,
for enforcement than they ever used
Under normal operating search.
And he's even trying to shut down 1,000 square miles of ocean off Florida. It's crazy. This is a crazy time.
Yeah, it never ends.
Yeah. So are you okay with the push and pull and negotiation in Congress? I mean, do you think we should take that right away from Congress as a tool?
You really want to know what I think?
I do.
I think they're all idiots. And they shouldn't even be there. I'm not Republican or Democrat or anything because I think they're all the same thing at this point in our lives. There's very, very small difference. I don't even think two categories even really exist.
Do you think they're idiots or do you think they're dumb like a fox?
Well, no, they're not idiots because they're getting everything they can for themselves and the people they love.
Yeah, they're not paying taxes. They have health care. They're doing great.
I mean, they retire on more than I ever make in my whole lifetime.
That's right.
Plus my mom and my brother and several other people.
Yeah. A little point about Congress too. There's been a lot of posting on the web that they did get rid of the law, or they made it a law that Congress has to have the Obamacare. But what most people who don't do their research, they don't know, is that so many loopholes were put in that essentially Congress and its staffers are able to not be forced into Obamacare via loopholes. So, yes, there is a law that's a completely worthless law.
Right,
so
right.
Why don't they have the same Obamacare if it's good for us? Why isn't it good for them?
Right.
Carlos?
Yeah.
You know how many things we have forced on us that are not good enough for them?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You're talking one of probably 100.
Well, I'll tell you one of the biggest ones that most people have zero idea. Congress is allowed to freely trade in the financial markets
with internal
information based on defense spending, contracts in healthcare, medicine, pharmaceuticals, military. They're allowed to freely trade in the financial markets based on that. Absolutely 100% legal. Right there.
They buy real estate based on potential laws that are being proposed.
Did we lose your signal?
No, I'm frustrated because we don't live in a democracy and we haven't.
But you know what's happening? We're being pushed to the point of the awakening. And I've got to tell you, 3 months ago, there was so much polarization, and I'm starting to run into more and more people in online political and social forums and just out in the streets that were fervent Obama believers or Republican, death to all Democrats. And they're starting to go, you know what? Throw the whole thing out. They're starting to leave the party. And that's exciting to me.
I've been there for 10 years.
Yeah, you've been ahead of the curve. I know who this is.
Do you think this would be good for Ron Paul?
Actually, Ron Paul is probably one person that I actually like.
Yeah, I was disappointed that he left. I felt he left a little disingenuously to set his son up, and I don't think that is going to work for him. We do have another phone call, and thank you so much, caller. You bring up some good points. Yeah, it was 95, and it was George H.W. Bush. No, or Clinton. They were both right there in the same.
It was Clinton. I remember now.
Yeah. And so you were prohibited from going into a national park, like entering it.
Right, yes, yeah. Exactly. Wow. Yeah, except for, like I said, the ones they could, like Chaco Canyon, they can't shut down. It has got a highway going through it.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's like we could at least drive through and see things.
November 1995, November 13th for 5 days with Clinton, and December 15th for 21 days with Clinton. So that was it. Well, thank you so much, caller. I appreciate all the work you do out there.
Yeah, Carlos, going back to your original topic of media bias, I recently was at a TED conference at Chapman College. They had the editor of the LA Times there giving a talk on how do you go and verify all these sources. As the war is transgressing on Twitter, people are coming up with these images and they have to go verify these images. They don't know what's what. So they have teams and teams of people to get to the truth, to get to the facts. And it's tough.
And
there's
a lot of
sources.
If they can discredit the internet and the alternative media, they don't even have to win. Everybody just starts suspecting everything. Did we lose them? Yep, we did.
Hey,
Phone lines are open. We want to hear from you guys, so call.
I just wanted to say something. A lot of people get frustrated over Congress. They feel like, you know, the Republican Congress has really, you know, been the obstructionists here. But really, what they're proposing is these individual bills to fund Veterans Administration, to fund the NCS or NIS.
They're modular.
Yeah, and what that does, I actually like that. I think it gives us taxpayers an idea of what where our money's going.
It's almost instead like line-item veto.
Instead of being this big thing. And on top of that, Congress's enumerated powers to keep our president in check is the power of the purse. And
yes.
They're merely using the tools provided to them in the Constitution to keep our president in check because he has the tendency to behave a little bit more like a dictator.
We've got a couple of calls. Go ahead. You're on the air.
You're on
the air.
Yes. You know, last month, you can tell me because you're a very bright guy. You know, they had the anniversary of, like, was it Chile?
Allende? Or Pinochet?
Pinochet, U.S.-backed military coup where, you know, and this is like the same old story, like with Guatemala, Indonesia, where U.S.-sponsored.
Can I just cut right to the chase on that? The most definitive, amazing, free piece of YouTube video is Naomi Klein's The Shock Doctrine, and it talks about that. It talks about the Chicago stool. It talks about economic hitmen going in and toppling countries, especially democratic countries that are democratically elected leaders, but they're not moving in the way that our military-industrial companies like. Naomi Klein's The Shock Doctrine. Amazing
for
free.
I agree with the last caller. You know, this like Obamacare is a perfect example. They're all playing this game. It's not between Obama, the Democrats. They're all playing this game together.
Yes.
You know, to create like chaos and like fear and all that stuff. And
lots of fear lately.
The thing that I learned about the Chile thing, it was AT&T, because they have vast copper resources, and AT&T had so much clout in the government, they wanted that copper for telephone wires and wiring and stuff, and that was the reason why that the U.S. backed that coup, military coup.
And flash forward to 2013 or 2012, with Kony 2012, that was a closeted BS propaganda thing to try to allow the U.S. to get AFRICOM into Africa to get the rare earth metals before China did. But I've got a bunch more phone calls,
okay,
so I got you 30 seconds.
And maybe you can give me an answer.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I know what you're talking about is when America or people, I mean, get so fed up where we're demonstrating in the streets like in Egypt. What's going to be the tipping point where they're going to just kill us all?
Well, I believe there are factions in our government that think there are too many useless eaters right now. We are reaching a tipping point. And I kind of believe a lot of the stuff that's being shoved down our throats, like locking down an entire city because of a shooting such as Boston, or very questionable things like the what happened, Sandy Hook and other things, where almost every single one of these, including the Navy shipyard shooting and the Washington, D.C. Execution, death, murder protection thing 2 days ago, there has always, without exception, been a government-sponsored terrorist drill that same day. And that I can, if anybody wants to get in touch with me, I'll give them the details. I got it every
get ready.
Yeah.
You know.
But hey, I got people on the other line, so.
Thanks a lot for the show. You guys and your co-host.
Yeah, we're having fun. Scott and Eric and Scott's
Frank
friend
from Orange
Frank.
County.
Yeah.
Frank. Hello, Frank.
We're having fun.
Really, you're great.
Right on. Thanks, man. Well, Felicia will be back next week. We'll see you. Aloha, ooh, you're on the air, and no, you're not on
the
air. We lost you.
On us.
They gave up. I'm trying to move things along,
you know,
I apologize if you called two or three times, and I rush you along. It's just because I'm trying to give everybody a fair shake. 826-7774.
You know, when it comes to the Chinese, Wo Xing Shao Kong, it means my name is Kong, you know, I'm getting ready, getting my Chinese ready.
No, you're learning?
No, when I was in high school, it was the choice of Spanish or Chinese, so I took Chinese.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not that I'm any great. You know, it's funny looking back in high school and stuff like that, and looking back in Spanish, the French, and the Chinese that I took. I really wish I had taken it more seriously instead of the grades that I was forced to get good.
Yeah, my son took Chinese all through grade school.
Uh-huh.
He learned how to say one word at the end of that, go, which means dog. I said, well, let's learn how to write and read and everything. You know, when we went through, you know, I took Spanish 7 years and I became fluent. And it was, you kind of look forward to being able to communicate with, you know, half of California.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think today they kind of let you go a little bit and you learn at your own pace. And
yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, definitely. But,
well, it's going to be interesting because when you borrow from somebody, if you have integrity, then you are responsible and accountable to pay that back. And right now, I believe the known treasuries, derivatives, and everything else that we are leveraged into China is about 1.2 to 1.7 trillion. And that's the known.
Chump change. 220 trillion.
We can print that up in one afternoon.
Now, here's the question. The Fed, which is not a federal government entity, it's a private cartel or group of five or six banks, they've been given the right by Congress, I believe it was 1913 and Jekyll Island Accord, they were given the right to print up money and then lend it to us and charge us interest. So there's been two presidents that tried to end the Fed. One was Abraham Lincoln. One was John F. Kennedy. And there's some other thing that connected those two presidents. I can't remember what it is. Mm. Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy.
Andrew Jackson, they were both shot.
Yeah. So anyway, we've got another caller. I'm enjoying your calls. Feel free to mix it up, and we'll talk about anything you want. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey. Thank you for such a fine show.
Can I say who this is?
Sure.
I love this. This is Mickey, and she is one of the unbelievably tireless GMO people. Too that it's just unpaid. You guys are just amazing. But what's on your mind, Mickey?
Oh no,
I embarrassed her. Call back, Mickey. Anyway, Mickey is part of a core group, and Dustin, Fern, so many others that are just. They're tireless. I wish we could collect money and give these guys a stipend because they're spending all their own money and time.
Let's see. Why don't we just start a bank?
Somebody else is on the air. No, that's on the air.
Oh, wait.
No, we got you back. I got to figure out which one's you. Nope, that wasn't you.
That was not. Let's
try that. Try this one.
Well, why can't we just start?
Mickey, just call back. We're going to get you.
Carlos, why can't we just start printing our own money and starting our own bank of
Frank? There is a clause in our deal with the Federal Reserve that for $1 billion we could buy out the contract. And
we just
replaced something like $8 trillion in debt right now. We retired $8 trillion in debt and did $7 to $8 trillion trillion in new debt right now this week. And that's what
Elon Musk found in
Mickey,
that PayPal.
Are you
that
there?
Was pretty cool.
Mickey?
Yes.
Yay, it's all yours. I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm not going to touch anything. Go ahead.
Okay. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Every single one of you gentlemen have brought so much to the table today. I can't sing your praises enough, and Felicia's as well. And I wanted to say something really simple, and it was about KIUC.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want us, the non-smart meter people, the ones that I consider sane, to pay, how much did we pay for the smart meters?
That doesn't count. No, we are paying.
Oh, yes, it does. It deserves to be said very loud and clear.
That's part of the problem that KIUC decided to go on this program because there was federal funding involved, and they took the money, and then they went ahead and they looked at it down the road as a management tool, a way to get, they're painted in a corner. KIUC is right now painted in a corner. They're losing a lot of customers to solar that they don't get revenue from. And so instead of writing a check to KIUC next month, you're getting your power from the solar.
Well, they should see the writing on the wall. What's wrong with those people?
Well, but,
the
management but, Mickey,
stupid.
They are us. And this is what always confuses me. We elect them. They get in there. They have terms. But they are us. And if we're letting this happen, then we're not applying enough pressure, or not enough of us care, or not enough of us are educated. So, and maybe that's by design, you know, with complex and confusing information and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, there are some places in Europe that are making it massively penalized to get your own solar. If you get your own, I believe it might be Spain. They're actually, we've got to watch out for this. Yeah.
Oh, that day is
that's
coming.
Really on the forefront. Spain has done a lot of investment.
We did the water already solar. In many counties and in municipalities in the U.S. It's illegal to get rainwater because they've already sold it to the downstream flow.
KIUC, their debt is not going to disappear. It's got to be paid. And it's got to be paid from the ratepayers. And what's going to happen, I've been saying this for years, is that the people with money and access to capital are going to come off the system, and what's going to be left is the people who can least afford to carry this burden. KIUC's spending has to be brought under control.
Well, they only serve 32,000 electric accounts, right? I mean, it's pretty small, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have to do start showing up to the group.
Oh, don't say the dreaded show-up word, because that's basically it. My heart broke couple of weeks ago in the first big county council thing, but it was 2 weeks ago, and Dustin was out there holding a gigantic fold up table with a sign, and there were periods of time where he was, you know, the one guy out there with the on the red shirt
team. I'd like to say that there managed to be more today.
That's fantastic. But you know what, by design again, it's a work day, unless we're getting paid by our employers like some of these people are.
Well, no, it's obviously left up to the retirees and the mothers with young children.
Yeah.
This is who represents for us, and we do what we can.
Oh, I just lost another call. Sorry, caller. Oh, there they are.
It's kind of clear that the other people aren't there because they're working.
There's another big thing, Mickey, that all of us need to be paying attention to, and it's really big. It's the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And I'm hoping Felicia's going to kind of get into that in the coming weeks ahead. Maybe I'll slip her some stuff. Up in Canada, it's they're going to get an even worse end of the stick than we are. But I've got another call. You got 15 seconds.
You
want to say anything?
I love Tim Bynum and Gary Hoosier, and thank you, Joanne, for talking sometimes reasonably. And
you got a council crush. I have faith.
You know, and Ross and Mel, I come on board, you know.
All right. Thanks, Mickey.
And thank you, Jay, for being in the chairman.
Yeah, the gratitude. I love it. Thanks.
Yeah, aloha. Right.
Aloha, Mickey.
Go ahead, caller. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hey, I've got a kind of an international question. Whatever happened to that girl band in Russia, Pussy Riot?
They're still doing different, you know, they're doing hunger strikes and this and that. They just were in the news 2 weeks ago, and I can't remember exactly what for.
I thought they got released.
They're still trying to get their 15 minutes of fame, too. And
well, you know, it's so great because you can say pussy on the air, and you can read pussy in the newspaper.
Is that,
I don't think we could, actually, caller.
Great. I thought that was one of those words that was banned, you know.
Are shooting big and large. You got big dreams. I like that.
I think it's so great, man.
Okay.
No, CNN had a report.
Thank you,
said,
caller.
CNN had a report that said Pussy Riot was just putting the jail again 5 days ago. So.
Oh, my God. Okay, caller. You got us. Anyway, we've got 20 minutes left, 826-7771. And, you know, my message today, please, if you got a chance, check out, it's a non-profit, there's no money attached to anywhere, so I don't think it's a call to action, but it's not for a revenue generating thing. Please go check out the Facebook page if you're kind of new to media, because you are the product, not the customer, and you're being fed Pavlovian impulses for either fear or pleasure and riled up, and then you're being measured and you're being put on a graph. So, you know, be smart. We say things on the internet we wouldn't say to our next door neighbors or, you know, down at our local coffee shop or something. Mm-hmm. So really learn about the media. And even if it's completely supporting your narrative, if you're anti-abortion or pro-abortion or anti-GMO or pro, know where your information's coming from. Make sure it's a verifiable source. And even if they're pushing a big narrative, as long as you know who the principals are, who owns the company, what else they own, you understand.
Right.
And you get a broad sampling of media from across the board. Don't just listen to who supports your narrative. Try to know what the other side is, too. I'm not telling you to do things. And if you've got a moment, check out Naomi Klein's Shock Doctrine on YouTube. It will blow your mind.
I mean, it just
lays it out. I felt like I was taking a college-level class in a very simple fashion. So we got 17 minutes left, and as always, we want to hear from you. I got to get out of here at 6 because it's too fun being back,
can we go another hour?
I wish we could. Felicia, thanks for letting me do your show. I appreciate it. We got another caller. Go ahead, 826-7771. What's on your mind?
Am I on the air?
You are. You want to be?
Oh, yeah. I just want to say a few things about Obamacare.
Okay.
I think this needs to be driven home to the American public daily, is that the people that implemented it are exempt from it. And number two, all of us will now have the IRS monitoring our health care.
That is true. The caller's saying that and it is true. It's in the document or the PDF of, if you want to go look at the Patient Affordable Care Act. It's not really called Obamacare, but the IRS is the enforcing arm. They couldn't really get this through as a law initially, so it kind of came through as a tax. And the IRS, of course, is our entity that goes after taxes, and they are the enforcement arm of Obamacare. 100%. Take it to the bank. I've checked it out. It's
hey,
true.
I just another update. You have 159 likes now. I'm monitoring. You're up like 5 likes. Just
yeah, but
at this rate, you'll be at 200.
But you know, plain yogurt has like 50,000 likes.
At
so just plain yogurt. So.
By Christmas,
anyway,
you'll be at 200.
What else, caller? You're not a fan of Obamacare, I take it.
No, not really. But no, that's all I had to say.
Yeah.
It's a shame that we take lightly our constitutional rights, and that the First and Fourth Amendment is getting completely torched by this new law. If that can't stir a person's soul, they're either, you know, willfully ignorant or they're dead.
There is a segment of our society that has been raked over the coals with insurance, though. They have a pre-existing condition. They're elderly. They're a kid that's still going to college under their parent, but they're over 21. And there did need to be some change, but I think we need a change in the
insurance reform,
not health care. Let doctors do their jobs. I got another call. Are you finished?
Yeah, I am. And just in closing, thanks for doing this. Nice to hear you on the air again.
It's nice to be here. Thanks a lot.
Aloha.
Aloha. All right. Go ahead, caller. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Aloha.
Hey.
I have a question, and that is, how do we find out who's funding a report? You know, like you see reports that are for smart meters, against smart meters, that are denying chemtrails, that say that they're real and things about glyphosate. And
well,
I would just like to know if there's a...
Okay, I did a segment on the Facebook page of Kauai Soapbox today because there's a couple places people go right off the top of their head. One is Snopes.com. Well, it turns out that Snopes.com is a husband and wife team. They have possible affiliation with George Soros or other funding things. There's another group called Fact Check that I believe is funded by the Annenberg Foundation, which is a markedly left-wing organization. So everywhere you go to check stuff, they're going to have a media bias or an agenda or a narrative too. So you bring up a very good question. And I don't know that there is an end-all source right now. I used to love Bill Moyer, but I even believe that went, you know, by the wayside too. There, you look up the Supreme Court a couple of years back, and I apologize, but they actually ruled in favor of Fox News that the media does not have to provide honest news. They can provide knowingly false news if it supports a government narrative or other things. And I will find that for Felicia and put it on the Facebook site. But I believe our only defense is first common sense, then look, follow the money, look at your site. If it's an anti-chemtrail site, or like radical chemtrail site, go see if they're selling you water filters and survival food. And I believe there's a reality to chemtrails. 99% of those sites out there are selling you some survival junk. So they create what I call fear porn. They put radical music on their YouTube things, and you're all afraid, and then you watch this thing, and the world's ending. there's a lot of stuff going down, but there's a lot of great things too. So you have to use common sense and then try to go across the board and do a left wing, a right wing, a conservative, a liberal.
And follow sources. If they cite sources, go to the source.
Like Nokia is
doing. Well, that's my question is, how do you follow the money? I mean,
I'll tell you what I do. I'll go in, and today I made a bad quote in a political forum last week. I was talking about GE used to be one of the largest media owners. They've owned NBC. Well, they just last year sold it to Comcast, so it doesn't count anymore. But for many, many years, GE ran the narrative for about 100 different news, TV shows, sci-fi, entertainment, etc. So they could create the narrative for their shareholders. But if you get a story and you go to the source, I go find out who owns that company. Then I try to track down political affiliations. And I want to say something. I've loved Google. In the last 6 months, I have seen Google change, and it buries information that's not supporting the agenda 25 or 30 pages in. So sometimes I'll start 20 pages in because I know that's where I'm going to start finding the real stuff. There's a lot of fake stuff, but you have to know how to think. And I think it was Einstein who said, a truly great mind can encompass somebody else's idea without having to believe it. You can literally consider it. You don't just shut down. And I think a lot of us are so polarized by these sites by design. They create them that way that we just shut down. It's either too much for us or whatever. But your question is kind of my theme for the day. How do we find out if something's verifiable? And we need to sample a lot of different small portions from across the board.
Is there really a Mr. and Mrs. Snopes? Or they?
Yeah.
Their last name is Snopes?
No, their last name is like McCollin or McMillan or something like that. It's a husband and wife team. It really is. Yeah. And factcheck.org is used by a lot of MSNBC, CNN. They'll use it, but I checked FactCheck, who checks Snopes, and they all fact-check each other with the little back-scratching thing, and he still don't get it. So.
Well, you have to know the politics of, you know, like if you can track the money, you know, like who's actually, you know, the true source of the money and not the various levels that obfuscate the levels of money, you know, that are coming in, then you have to find out what their politics are, you know, and then you have to use your discernment and make sure that, you know, what you're hearing and everything is.
That dang discernment. It takes work, and most of us by design are working so much at semi-mundane jobs, getting paid a barely livable wage, that you don't have time. And then when we have county council meetings, we do it right during a business day instead of on a weekend or after hours, so, you know, working people can't attend. And
you have the pharmaceuticals funding the vaccinations, or the cell phone companies such as Nokia, you know, looking at are these handhelds harmful to you? Are they causing cancer? You know, you got to look at the origin and find out who is going to benefit. You follow that.
You know, I've gotten emails from people that well-meaning people and friends and everything, and some are for smart meters, and I've received other ones that are against smart meters, and so that's the thrust of my question. The most immediate quest I'll go on is to, you know, try and find out who in the heck is funding each one of the sides, so I can use my own discernment.
Yeah, and you know what? I am more for that than even being against or for smart meters or GMOs or against. I want people to learn again what we used to learn in the 60s and 70s and 50s and 40s and 30s, to learn to use that discernment and question. And we just got to question it, and we've got to be intelligent.
When they say the smart meters are recording every website you go to, you really got to wonder, is that accurate?
Yeah. Hey, we got a couple other phone calls, but if you check the Facebook, Kauai Soapbox Facebook page, or you can email me at hanaleypizza@yahoo.com, I'll give you some great smart meter information. And I always get both sides. I always read the whole gamut.
Look for it on Facebook. It's Kauai Soapbox Live. So
you're still at 159 likes. Hold
it
tight.
Thank you, caller.
Who's 160?
All right, aloha. 10 minutes left. Don't wait till the last one. Go ahead. You're on the air, and thanks for holding.
Hey guys, how you doing? Great show, Carlos. Great to have you. Great to hear you again.
Oh, it's fun. I love it.
It's been too long.
Yeah.
So I just want to make a quick comment, and then I'll hang up because I'm getting grass right now. But to me, it doesn't matter if you're talking about, you know, GMOs or legalizing marijuana or Obamacare. If you look behind the scenes, it's always the same thing.
everybody in the U.S. thinks that we live in democracy, and really we don't. We live in a corporatocracy.
Right.
And that's what controls our laws. That's what gets laws passed, and that's what we live in. And until that changes, it doesn't really matter who you vote for, Obama or Bush or whatever. I mean, the system's broken.
Yeah. Lobbyists will always be able to out-lobby financially a disparate band of citizens that might be opposed to something. The lobbyists are focused, targeted, educated, best psychologists and sociologists and marketers out there, usually with insider connections like Monsanto or former FDA heads or et cetera. So we're going up against lobbyists. We got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act and a few other things, and we really are a corporatocracy.
Well, they have access to the government that we don't have access to.
Yeah.
And, you know, something I read today that was really shocking to me is that the prison systems in this country have donated $10 million over the last 15 years to keeping marijuana illegal. Ask yourself why that is, because keeping it illegal is a big business, and that's why we have the laws that we have.
Yeah, and that we are moving toward prison for profit. Yeah.
Look at GMOs. I mean, look at the mayor's comments today. And look at the fact that he took $5,000 in May towards his funds. I mean,
I think it was $4,000 what I saw on the website today.
I read five, but
yeah.
Regardless, there's a reason he's only read the bill over the last week. You know, he was down there at the march in Pulipu with the rest of us and seemingly cared, but at the end of the day, who does he work for?
Where are our civics classes that teach young kids? I don't want to teach young kids to be
protesters.
Liberal or socialist or even environmentalist.
No, that's how they divide and conquer.
I want to teach them how to think.
They want you to argue about the differences between Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah.
That keeps us separated.
See,
the reality is it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I got a couple other calls. Any last words? Cut that grass.
Hey, I got a great picture of Mayor Carvalho holding a no GMO sign high in there.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, is this me?
Yes. Is that a Zen question? You're tricking me.
I like it. Wow.
Go ahead.
This is an exciting point I want to make, and is that we are on the precipice of great change, and I really feel that this 100th monkey effect is coming on. And that we're really actually all doing something every day to make the change. And I think that's what this is all about, because we can talk and hold up signs and do whatever, but if we go to Costco and buy a bunch of GMO stuff, or if we, you know, keep perpetuating the problem in our own really tiny little ways, then, you know, we're not really going to see change as fast as we're hoping it will come. So I really want to thank you guys for an excellent show today, Carlos. If I hadn't known that you hadn't been on the show for all this time, I would have been, you know, completely surprised. I just feel like you're awesome, and thank you for donating this sliver. And I know you donate so much more in Raising Consciousness, but you guys have been awesome today, and thanks for a great show and raising awareness.
Right on. Well, thank you so much. I know who this is, but I will not name you on the air.
Aloha.
Big news, though. California has voted to legalize industrial hemp. It seems
That's
like the tide's
so
turning.
Awesome.
My theory is that is Obama's secret weapon, though. As he gets in the last 2 years, if it's gotten really funky and maybe he hasn't had the legacy he wants, he's going to legalize medical marijuana across the board or industrial hemp or whatever. And for Kauai, industrial hemp would fix our bank account instantly and put us on the map, and we are so set up for it climate-wise, et cetera.
Hey, I got a question.
Yeah.
You think Obama will try to
third term? At this point, if we make it that far, that's great. Hey, we got who do we got coming in next?
I didn't hear an answer. Did he say?
I thought they already decided he wasn't coming back. Or he was going to stand there forever.
I'm not leaving.
Who do we got coming in for the next show?
Well, it's my name's Matt Morlock. I'm filling in for Craig.
for the History of Jazz program this evening.
I knew that, but I wanted Matt to just introduce himself. So anyway, it's been great. Continue the discussion on Kauai Facebook, Kauai Soapbox, I'm sorry. And, I mean, I really put a lot of stuff in there just to show how media gets spun and da-da-da. Yeah, and I love your thoughts, too. Eric's been doing a lot with the Kauai Soapbox page. I love it. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Frank. And, you know, keep it up. And, you know, my one favor to ask is, you might be yelling at the evil Republicans or something, but look around at the Republicans that you know and you work with, or the Democrats, or the Socialists, or what. It's a bell curve. We probably have 10% evil, 80% hardworking good people, 10% saints.
161 likes. Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, I crossed that big 160.
Hey, Carlos, I just like to say, it's like you haven't missed a beat.
Oh my! Well, I was a little clunky with the phones, so I apologize tonight. Out there. I do want to let everyone know, don't worry, fear not, Felicia will come back. And it was time for the Kauai Soapbox to move a little bit more local. I'm kind of big picture. I consider myself a human citizen first. Apologize. I love this island, and it is important. That's why I got out of the way. Felicia Cowden, Longy Cowden will be back next week, and we had a couple of great years. Eric Cannon is going to be with her, too, and we're working on a show for Eric. So one of these days we're going to pop out a hole. His own thing.
Someday.
Gets out on that wing. Thank you, everybody. 826-777-771. Matt Morlock sitting in for a great jazz show coming up next. We love you guys. Aloha. And Eric, why don't you hit that? How do I hit this button?
Just press play, and it is Plead the Fifth.
Okay.
From Heroes in the Healing of the Nation.
All right.
So turn up the volume on the auxiliary. Let's get it going.